Welcome to LSE Limelight from the Beaver Sound, where we unfold the best stories from students around LSE with me, Beatriz Silva. Today we speak with Thiago, the LSESU LGBTQ plus Students Officer for the academic year of 2020-2021, about the work he's been carrying out for the past months and how he hopes to continue to support not only the LGBTQ plus community, but also the wider student community at LSE. Thank you so much for joining us today, Thiago. It is absolutely lovely to have you today as our elected LGBT officer for the LSESU.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Oh, that makes me so happy. So I wanted to start off by asking you to introduce yourself to our listeners.
Okay. Again, my name is Thiago. The pronunciation can change depending where you're coming from. I'm from Brazil. In my second year, I'm studying international social and public policy, which is basically social policy. And I'm your LGBTQ plus officer for this academic year.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if, to start off, you wanted to explain to us, why did you decide to run for this role in the first place? What kind of drove you to want to take it up?
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember when the positions were open, I was looking in ways to participate in the student community. I think not only myself, but like most of students would agree that it's quite hard to connect LSE and to form that like student community. We're sometimes a bit isolated from each other, and I wanted to just get involved and like enhance our community and do like better things for us at the same time, like start to participate more in societies and like LSE social life. Then I saw the position of LGBTQ plus officer, and I was like, okay, that's perfect to me, because it gave me the opportunity to represent and talk with the LGBTQ plus community, which is something so, so dear to my heart and really important to me.
That's wonderful to hear. Can you explain a little bit, just so that we can understand, what does the role entail in, or what did you think you were signing up for?
Mm-hmm.
Because you said that you think it's really important to support that community. I wonder, what role is expected of someone who is taking up that role?
I think, to be completely honest, if you're a sabbatical officer, as the gender secretary and other positions that you get paid, you are held accountable and you have like loads of things to do that are kind of like rule to you. As a part-time officer, which what I'm doing, you're a student but also an officer. So it's not clear, and precisely like this lack of clearness what your role entails
mm-hmm.
Made as you being absent in some years. Like in some years we didn't have LGBTQ plus officers, and in previous years we had, but unfortunately they didn't change that much stuff. That being said, I see my role as responsible for advocating, lobbying for LGBTQ plus students within LSE and the Students Union.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see it's a bit tricky to sometimes have an LGBT officer, sometimes not have it, and the fact that the role is not defined kind of leaves a lot of space.
Exactly.
But I wanted to talk to you precisely because I feel like you are doing relevant work, and that, you know, it's something that we should know about and that we should be talking about more, and especially with the whole COVID thing going on. These podcasts are a platform for us to discuss things and to promote mm-hmm. them. So you recently put together a LGBT plus student guide. I've never heard of that before. Anyone yeah. doing it? So can you tell us what it is about?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that's the first ever LGBTQ plus student guide. What happened is, I think, again, this lack of community sometimes. People feel isolated and they don't know how LSE can support them, how the Students' Union can support them, and sometimes even the difference between SU and LSE. I've been talking with loads of people from the LGBTQ plus community at LSE, and like I came across with this lack of information. Like the students didn't know like how LSE can support them, how SU can support them, what is the difference between them, like how they can get access, like what is societies, what is my role, And I decided that was important to put all the information available from all different LSE stakeholders in one document. And that's why we created the LSE SU LGBTQ plus guide. So in that guide, I'm talking about how LSE can support you and what are the policies that are in place, how the students union and like societies can support you as LGBTQ plus student, LSE. And finally, some resources in terms of mental and sexual health for LGBTQ plus individuals. And I try to do the most like intersectional way that I can. So including mental and sexual health for cis and trans students, and also for like women, bisexual women, lesbians, gays, people of color. So like a range of services that are available here and extra LSE and SU.
Yeah, that is so fantastic to hear. I was wondering, how did you get that information? You know, because as you said, students don't really know what LSE has to offer or the LSESU in relation to that. So where did you go and find all of those resources? And did you feel like sometimes LSE didn't really have them or didn't really have those support systems that you were looking for, that you wanted people to know about?
Yeah, definitely. What happened is you have information, but it's so difficult to access. Like you go to the website, then in the website have a different page of a different page, and the information kind of like get lost in its way. So what I did, I was elected in, I assumed the role in June. From June, I used my entire like summer break to plan everything I wanted to do with my like role. And what happened, I contacted SU, and SU supported me to contact some people at LSE. So for instance, one important thing that LSE has is the Equality, Diversity, Inclusion Office, that they do work for us and for staff in terms of diversity. And I didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. But then as you told me like, oh, we have people that can help you there. We have people that can help you with like all the information in all their place. So I gathered everyone and was like, I'm creating a guide and I need to know, for instance, EDI office, how can you help us? Student union, how can you help us? LSE, from halls of residence to modules, like what do you have for LGBTQ plus students? So part of that was like the response from these really generous and kind people that talked to me and answered me. And part was also like my experience and like my research in LSE website and resources.
Mm-hmm. Well, and those people accepted and talked to you. Once you found them and knew that they existed, they talked to you and they gave you all the information you needed.
Yeah.
To put this together.
Yeah, they did. Some of them was not clear, and some of them like didn't want to do the hard work, you know, gave me like old data or information that was not that like up to date. But most of them were really, really kind, and like they helped me answer like this information and explained to me like what were also their role and what were their responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. I understand. I was wondering what the feedback has been so far. I mean, you probably promoted this amongst LSE because they're the ones most interested in having access to the yeah. student guide. So I assume you promoted this amongst LGBT plus students. So have you had any feedback in relation to that? Because, you know, you say that your experience as an LGBT person is very unique and different from that. You know, it's different. Everyone experiences yeah. university different. So how do you feel like the fact that you put together a student guide is impacting people's lives? And what's the general feedback you've been receiving so far?
Well, I hope it's impacting positively. But in terms of feedback, we have two situations. The first one, like the people that have access, especially I got loads of feedback from LSE people. So like staff and academics and people in the Equality, Diversity, Inclusion Office. They said like, that's a great work. Actually, this guy kind of showed up to Minush, like was in Minush hands at some point, which mm-hmm. was really interesting. I wish I could see her face reading that. But institutionally, like people were really grateful, like, oh my goodness, that's a good job. Thank you very much for putting that together. In terms of students, I think we're still having a problem in how to make sure everyone has access to it. So often there are some students asking like, oh, how can I do this? Or how can I have access to mental health services? And then I need to reinforce once again, like, oh, we have this LGBTQ plus guide. So again, like this lack sometimes of community coming together, which is understandable, especially now with COVID, comes in place and makes people not aware. To address that, I created the queer LSE that I changed the username. Now is LSE SU LGBT page on Instagram. So I'm always like updating. And we also created I have a profile in the SU website. So everything that I've been doing is there. And I hope that these like online platforms can make people more aware and spread the word across LSE.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, your Instagram account is everywhere.
Yeah.
if we need to work on promotion, we can also figure that out. That's so wonderful. And I was wondering now, having done that already, and it's like, and it came out when? In October?
Yes, I believe like beginning of October.
So it was right from the start of the year. Was there work throughout the summer? Really a lot of time. That's honestly honorable. So what are your plans going forward? What kind of things have you not done yet that you want to work on and make sure that, you know, by the end of the year you can look back and think, you know, I addressed a lot of things. What is missing?
Oh, there's so much missing. And what happened is I took my summer and like especially the initial 2-3 months, which is basically now, to hear our community. Because I have feedback from what is now second and third year students, but we also have freshers. And we have freshers amidst COVID-19. So I thought it was important to also hear from their feedback. And we're doing like surveys and kind of like interviews and opening our social media to hear feedback. And based on students' feedback, we created a campaign. When I say we, because like I cannot do things by my own. Have like great friends. So I have Bali, they are our education officer at SU, Laura, community and welfare officer, and also Lily, the president of Pride Alliance, which is the queer society. They helped me so much in designing like the necessary policies. And after talking with them and students, we kind of formulated a campaign's plan and policy for the rest of the year that is basically divided in 3 parts. The first one, we want to improve mental health services. So actually this week, yesterday, I was talking with the counseling services. So the counselor services, LSE, they can provide a specific LGBTQ plus group for students that come into uni, but also coming out, facing issues regarding like identity, coming out, difficulties, maybe they need to go back home and don't know how to do that once they came out at uni. So we are advocating for that and like changing mental health provisions. And we hope to achieve that by the end of this year. In the long term, we're going to be looking at our trans community. It's quite baffling and sad, like the actual provisions. So from resources, information, financial support to our trans students, to simple things like changing LSE for you. Like actually, we cannot put our pronouns, and the level of misgender that is happening during classes and lecture is insane. So that's what we're going to be working in the long term. And finally, in the summer term, by the end of my role, we hope to change financial support provisions. So not only creating like scholarships for LGBTQ plus students come here, but also like if you come to uni and you came out and out of nothing, your parents don't support you anymore, you don't need to be worried. Like you can still continue your studies. And that was definitely like a situation that basically like happened with me. And I fall like in a place that I couldn't find support. So all of these actions, they're so dear to my heart. And I hope to implement them. And let's see what we can achieve by the end of this year.
That is so inspiring. I'm so excited to hear all those plans. And I was wondering, because you've been putting so much hard work into this, there certainly is challenges that you have to face in the process. So can you explain a little bit to us what kind of setbacks and obstacles have you had to face in going about doing your job the way you want to?
Yeah, definitely. There were some backlashes sometimes. I think the first one is, as I was trying to explain, we don't have clear rules for part-time officers. So we don't get paid. And you're supposed to represent students, but like how you're gonna do that, it can vary. Different officers, they do different things. And the complicated part of that is if you want to achieve something in your role, if you want to promote real change, you're gonna do a really hard work and you're not getting paid. And bear in mind, like, I'm a student as everyone else. I have my academic responsibilities, I have family, friends, relationship. I'm also trying to get, like, internships and have a career. So sometimes, like, this lack of clarity and even support, I would say, like, guidance, it can get you in a way, like, what I'm supposed to do. So what I think sometimes... Students Union and LSE put a lot of responsibility in those people. Now, if you want to achieve roles, like if you want to achieve things, you can do it, but bear in mind, like it's going to be a lot put it on you. And I believe it's just unfair sometimes. Like there are other roles that get paid and part-time officers don't. I don't agree sometimes. It was really difficult at times feeling like as a token, you know, like people invited to speak about blackness and queerness and things that I identify with, but not giving me any institutional support. At times, LSE asking like, oh, would you like to come and talk with year 12 students about what it should be like LGBTQ plus LSE? But at the same time, they're not providing us decent support as students. So that's what I would say, what has been difficult.
Mm-hmm. Those are very strong points. I wonder, I mean, you seem to be perfect for the job. So far, what do you find most rewarding about it? And with all of like, you know, planning all those events and coming up with his own initiatives and working with people who are as passionate about this as you are, what's in the end like the most rewarding thing about it?
I think it's like the messages when I see that we're actually helping someone. Like a fresher, they send me a message like, oh, thank you very much. Or even LSE saying like, oh, that was a great job. Knowing that I'm working to implement and improve this community, like it's everything to me. Like one of your previous questions, like why did I run for that? To be fair, like there was no clear reason. I just felt that I didn't want any student to feel what I felt. I don't want any student to be left isolated or marginalized. And that's what kind of like moves me to improve this community. So you can come here to LSE, the place that this year, 50 years ago, we were holding and hosting the Gay Liberation Front, which is so important for this country in terms of LGBTQ plus rights. I want to continue this history that we have. I want that LGBTQ plus students, when looking to uni, consider LSE because it will be the best place for LGBTQ plus students. And when I hear that some of our work is actually working, it's really rewarding. It makes me really happy.
Oh, yes. That's fantastic to hear. That inspires me. So just to finish off, I was wondering if you could tell us, I mean, you've talked about your social media already, but if students are listening to this and I want to get they care about this, they want to get in touch with you, or they have any questions, how can they contact you?
You can contact me by my SU email, that is su.lgbt@lsc.ac.uk. We have the LSE SU LGBT page on Instagram. And we also have like the social Students Union social media. So SU Instagram, Facebook, and definitely the website. I know that is a bit cringe, like you need to go to my profile to see like the specific LGBTQ plus news. So yeah, if you could do that, the Student Union website, you're actually gonna also see some news and what we've been up to.
All right, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming, for talking to us about this. It's so, so important. We're going to spread the message around campus. Thank you so much for your wonderful work.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank everyone for have listened to me.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. The interviewee was Thiago, and he was talking to us about his work as the LGBTQ plus students officer for the academic year of 2020-2021. The music for this podcast was produced by Ash Lyo Massing. And I have been your host, Beatrice Su.
This episode was edited by Clara Costello.